all the various trials and the suffering he went through, but his ability to press on. And then last Sunday morning, if you were here with us, we looked at the life of Esther and Esther's plea before the king for her people and the statement that Esther made in Esther chapter 4, where she said, "If I perish, I perish, but I'm going to persevere. I'm going to go before the king and I'm going to stand before him, and we're going to pray and ask God that he would hold out his golden scepter and God's people, the Jewish people, would be saved and they'd be rescued and they'd be delivered." We saw the perseverance of Esther, and today we want to look at the perseverance in the life of Job. And I want us to read quite a few verses here in Job chapter number 1 to help us to understand the things that Job went through. And then I want us to look at a few things that we can see in this passage that help us to see the perseverance of Job as he pressed on for the Lord and put his faith and his trust in the Lord. And I hope that today, as we look at some truths from Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 mainly, I hope that we will get to a point in our lives as God's people where we'd be able to have the faith that Job had. We'd be able to have the persistence and the perseverance that Job had to make it through times of suffering and times of difficulty that we go through in our lives. And so let's look at Job chapter 1. And again, let's notice what happened with Job. The Bible says in verse 1, it gives us a description of Job's character. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." So the Bible talks much about his character. Job was a man of character. The description is given there of a man who is perfect. He was mature in his faith. He lived upright. He lived righteously. The Bible says, feared God and he eschewed evil. So he rebelled against that which was wrong and he obeyed the commandments that his God had given to him. Then the Bible says, in verse number 2, we start to see a little bit about what Job possessed or the things that God had blessed him with. And by the way, God had blessed him in a great way. Not only was he a man of integrity and character, but God had blessed him in an enormous way. Notice what the Bible says in verse 2. "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen. 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East." So there was no individual in all of the East, the Bible says, that possessed or was blessed as richly as what Job was. And so we're getting an idea of his character. We're getting an idea of the things, of the ways in which God had blessed him. Look at what the Bible says in verse 4. "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all." Now notice what Job says. Job is acting as the high priest of his family. He's praying and offering sacrifice on behalf of his family. And notice the statement that Job made at the end of verse number 5. "For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job," notice the Bible says continually. He was persistent with it. He was continually acting as the high priest of his family and offering his prayer and his sacrifice to the Lord on behalf of his family. Look at verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Satan here as the accuser of the brethren. Notice what the Bible says about Satan's conversation with God in heaven. He says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Now here's what we have to understand about the writing of the book of Job. The author of the book of Job says that about Job's character in verse 1. Did you notice that? It was said of Job's character that he was a man that was perfect. He was a man that was upright. He was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. But now God is saying the same about his character. It's one thing for man to say it, but it's another thing for God to say it, isn't it? God says that about the character of Job before Satan. The Bible says this in verse number 9, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, it is true what Satan's saying. God, you've blessed Job. You've blessed Job in a great way. As a matter of fact, his substance is greater than anyone that lived in the East. The Bible describes there the substance of Job. But here's the accusation that Satan is making. He's saying, that's why Job is trusting you. You've put a hedge of protection around him. You've watched over him. You've blessed him in a great way. And that is the only reason that he is trusting you. Notice what Job says again, or Satan says, excuse me, to accuse Job. He says in verse 11, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. God, if you take away from him what he has, what you have blessed him with, what you have given to him, the increase of his substance, if you will take those things away and you will take away the hedge that you have protected him with, he will curse you to your face. He'll be done putting his trust in you. The Bible says, and by the way, God has confidence in Job that he had the character to do the right thing. And he says to Satan, notice what it says in verse 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thine power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. The Bible tells us Satan accuses Job. He is then given permission by God to touch the substance of Job. And then the Bible tells us that Satan leaves the presence of the Lord. Notice what happens next, verse number 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. What does the Bible tell us in verse number 13 down to verse number 19? That Job has lost all of his possessions. Remember, Satan says to him, he's an accuser of the brethren, isn't he? And he says, the only reason he trusts you, the only reason he fears you, the only reason he is living as a perfect and an upright man is because you've blessed him. You've blessed his substance. You've increased him in so many different ways. That's the only reason he's putting his trust in you. If you would put your hand on that and take that away, he'll curse you to your face. He lost his possessions. He lost his animals. He lost his servants. And the Bible tells us that he lost all of his children as well. Now we're going to look at verse number 20, but I want us to answer a question before we look at verse number 20. And I'm thankful that verse number 20 is in our Bible, because we get to see Job's reaction, don't we? We get to see the way that Job reacts when these circumstances have taken place. I want to ask you a question, though, before we read verse number 20. How would you have reacted at this point? How would you have reacted? Now, we're encouraging you this year, throughout the year of 2021, to press on, to live a life of persistence and perseverance in our life as Christians. When God puts us through difficulties, when God puts us through hard times, we think of the story of Job here. How would we have reacted? Well, we're going to get to see the reaction of Job, aren't we? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20, and we really want to break this verse down so that we can see the way that Job reacted. Look at verse number 20. It says, then Job arose. Job had gotten to the point where all of these servants had visited him, and he found out all of his possessions were gone. He found out all of his animals were gone. His children are gone. His servants have even been destroyed. They've been killed. He's lost all of the things that were close to him, especially his children. And the Bible says he arose. He got up from where he was. And the Bible says there are a few things that he does. Notice what the Bible says. He rent his mantle. When he tears his mantle, it's a sign of deep grief and deep sorrow. And you can imagine, right? Deep grief and deep sorrow that Job is feeling. And then the Bible says that he shaves his head, which would have, in the day in which Job lived, been a sign of mourning, a sign of grieving, a sign of anguish. He takes and he shaves his head. Then the Bible goes on and it says, and he fell down upon the ground as a sign of humiliation, as a sign of contrition, as a sign of supplication to the Lord. And then notice what the Bible says he does next. The Bible says, and worshiped. I want you to notice some things about Job as we read verse number 20. Job worships God, and this is a pattern in Job's life in good times, and it's a pattern in Job's life in bad times as well. Did you notice that Job is worshiping instead of cursing? Now remember what Satan accused Job of. He said, you've put a hedge of protection around him. If you take all that away from him, he will curse you to your face. Job, in verse number 20, instead of cursing God, he is worshiping. He's submitting to God outwardly and inwardly. His heart is what it should be, and outwardly he's expressing that by the fact that he fell down before God for the purpose of worshiping him. And in verse number 21, we're even going to get to notice some words that he says to God as well as a way of outwardly expressing the submission that was in his heart. So Job has a pattern of worshiping in good times, and he has a pattern of worshiping in bad times as well. Would that be an application that we could say would be true of our lives? That we would have a pattern of worshiping when God has blessed us and his favor is upon us. But what about when we go through times of suffering? What about through the hardships and the difficult times of life? Here's what Job shows to us, that when he went through moments of intense sorrow and trials, and then when he went through moments of great joy and great rejoicing and great happiness, there was the same effect. And what was that effect? The effect was the fact that he was forced into the immediate presence of God. God, I'm worshiping you when times are good, and I'm worshiping you when times are bad as well. The result is always the same. When God's put me through good times and when God's put me through bad times, I fall down and I worship him. And then notice what he says. Look at verse number 21. It says this, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. When I came here, I had nothing, Job says. And when I leave, I'm going to have nothing as well. So he says this statement, notice in verse number 21, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now notice the character of Job in verse number 22. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We could say of Job that he never yielded to Satan, did he? Job said, or Satan said that he'll curse you to your face, but Job never yielded to Satan. Look with me, if you would, now at chapter number 2. We told you we were going to kind of center our thoughts here in these two chapters. After I read a few verses in chapter number 2, I want to give you some thoughts about Job's life and his perseverance and his persistence. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Sounds similar to what we read in verse 1, or chapter 1, doesn't it? Satan's coming and he's presenting himself before the Lord. He's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? And so now as he presents himself before the Lord asks him, where are you coming from? I'm coming from to and fro on the earth, going up and down in it. It says in verse number 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, he's already asked him that before, hasn't he? Have you considered Job? Notice what's said of Job. He said that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest against him to destroy him without cause. The Lord saying to him a little bit different than what we heard in chapter number 1, because he said now he's retained his integrity. Satan, the accusation that you made as the accuser of the brethren, the accusation that you made is if you will take things from him, you've put a hedge of protection around him, and if you'll take these blessings from him, he'll curse me, God says. But he hasn't done that. He's retained his integrity. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. And he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. That's the only way that he could find relief, was by taking this scrap piece and using it to scratch the wounds that he had. He said, and he sat down among the ashes in the midst of grieving, being overwhelmed with grief and sorrow because of the things that he had been going through. Now remember the accusation of Satan, if you'll take the hedge away and you'll take away his possessions, he'll curse you to his face. Well, he still retained his integrity, didn't he? And so now the Lord, or Satan says, well, if you touch his body, if you remove his health, that's the only reason he's serving you. That's the only reason he's retained his integrity. If you'll take away his health, and God gives him permission, doesn't he? You can touch his health, just do not take his life. And he's from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, covered with boils. Now, can I ask you the same question I asked you when we were in chapter 1? What would your reaction be? What would your reaction be at this point? We've read chapter 1 as he's lost all of his possessions and his children and his servants and his animals. And now his health is being affected because of what Satan has done. What would your reaction be? Would our reaction be that we would press on? We would persevere? We'd be persistent in our faith and our work that God has given to us to do? I want us to notice some truths in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 that ought to help us today as we think of this Bible character, Job, and how he displayed perseverance. Perhaps these will be reminders to you that will help you to understand that it is possible to press on. It is possible to persevere and be persistent and do what God would have for you to do, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through. And it is true today, by the way, let us not get to a place in which we think that because we're Christians, we will not suffer. It is possible for the righteous to go through times of suffering, and we see it right here, don't we? Let's notice some truths from the life of Job as he displays perseverance in his life. The first thing I want you to notice is this. We see the perseverance of the devil in this passage as well. Now, we're to persevere as Christians, but it's unique. In chapter 1 and chapter number 2, I believe we saw the perseverance of the devil as well, didn't we? The devil didn't want to quit, did he? The devil in chapter number 1 accused Job, and Job had still retained his integrity. So in chapter number 2, we get to a point in which the devil wants to again accuse the brethren. The devil wants to persevere as well. He doesn't want to come to a place in which he quits attacking us as Christians. He is an accuser of the brethren. While we are working to press on, the devil is working to get us to quit. Do you know that today? We're working to persevere as Christians. We're working to press on, but the devil wants to get us to quit. He's not our friend, and he's going to persevere as well. He has a constant aim, and that constant aim is our ruin. He wants to destroy you. He wants to take souls to hell. There may be somebody here today that has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you know what? The devil wants you to remain in that state. As a matter of fact, the Bible clearly tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. It says that the devil is trying to blind the eyes of those that are unsaved, lest they see the glorious light of the gospel. The devil would like to keep the lost in their sinful, lost condition. And then he wants to take away the effectiveness and the influence of those that are Christians. The devil is constantly attacking, and his aim is our ruin. His purpose is to turn men away from the Lord. His purpose is to turn women away from the Lord. His purpose is to turn boys and girls away from the Lord and against the God who loves them. But here's something we have to notice in this passage. I want you to take time to notice this in the passage. I want us to understand that we may see that God allows Satan to He allows Satan to do what he does with Job, but he does give a limit. And aren't you thankful for that? Let's notice it in the passage again. Would you look at chapter number 1 and verse number 8? Notice what God allows. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He's allowing Satan to consider Job. Consider this man of character. Consider this man of integrity. God even mentions to Satan Job's name. He's allowing it, but he does put a limitation, doesn't he? Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12 of chapter number 1. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." God gives a limit, doesn't he? You can affect his possessions and his animals and his servants and his children, but do not put your hand on him. God gives a limit. And then in chapter number 2, he allows as well. Remember, he brings up Job again, doesn't he? He says in verse number 3, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" But then look down at verse number 6, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Isn't it great to know that even though the devil is persevering himself, he's persistent, he wants to ruin your life, he wants to destroy you, he can go no further than where he is permitted to go. And aren't you thankful that although God may allow Satan to accuse the brethren, he does put a limit on Satan, so Satan's power cannot go beyond God's permission. We can be thankful for that today, can't we? So that's one great truth we see in this passage. But the other great truth I want you to notice is this. We see not only that Satan perseveres, but we see, number 2, that everything is ordained and orchestrated by God. Everything in your life is ordained and orchestrated by God. Can I say that's true of things that are good, and that's true of things that are bad as well? Now, God is a God of love, and he's a God of mercy, and he's a God of grace. And so we understand that he is a God that gives good things to his children. But there are some times that we go through suffering, whether it be with our possessions like happened with Job, or maybe our children, maybe our own health like we see in chapter number 2 here of Job. But let us always remember that everything is ordained and everything is orchestrated by this almighty God that we serve. Did you notice Job even said that, didn't he? Look at chapter 1 and verse 21 again. He said this. He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." He's basically saying this to us. Hey, I brought nothing into this world, and I'm not going to carry anything out. So God, he has the right to give, and he has the right to take away. And by the way, everything that he's given to us already is what he has blessed us with, meaning it's his possession anyway. And so he has the right to take it away, doesn't he? And so we're noticing that everything is ordained. Everything is orchestrated by God. He's a God who gives, but he's a God who takes away as well, and they're equally ordered by God. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 2. We did not read verse 9 yet. We went down to verse number 8, but we stopped there. Because I asked you the question, what would your reaction be if you were in this situation that Job was in chapter number 2? Notice what the Bible says happens in verse number 9. It says, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" That word integrity has the idea of Job's innocency. Do you still retain your innocency? Do you still have that innocence? You know, Job in his innocence was naive enough to just say, "I'm going to trust God." He was naive enough to just say, "I'm going to walk with God, and God will do right. When good times come, God's doing right. When bad times come, God's doing right. When he gives and when he takes away, it's still ordained by him, and it's still orchestrated by him." And so Job is saying, look at verse number 10, he says this, "But he said unto her," this is unto his wife, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." Remember what his wife had said at the end of verse number 9, she said, do you retain your integrity? Just curse God and die. Job says to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak." Or we could say it this way, "You're speaking like a heathen woman would speak. You're speaking like somebody who doesn't know Christ, somebody who doesn't have a relationship with him. That's the way you're speaking." Look at what he says to his wife. He says, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Here's what Job's saying. Job's saying God brings happy times in our life. He brings joyful times. And that same God at moments brings suffering and brings sorrow as well, but they proceed from the same source. And that source is God, isn't it? He's the one that gives. He's the one that takes away. And so what do we expect, that we're only going to receive good from Him and there'll never be any evil times? There'll never be any times of suffering and sorrow? But here's the great truth that Job wants to remind us of. That no matter what we go through, God is always just, isn't He? He will always do that which is right. Job is letting us know that he's looking to a higher source. That higher source is God, and whatever happened was under the direction of the Almighty. God was the one who directed and orchestrated and ordained these situations that are in my life. Look back to verse number 10 again. I think we see some great truths in this verse. I want us to notice, first of all, the correction that Job gives to his wife. He says to his wife, he said, "You're speaking as one of the foolish women speak." What is foolish about this statement that Job's wife makes? Remember, she says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Well, what's foolish about it? Well, Job is letting her know, hey, that's a foolish statement, because there'd be no reason why I should ever quit on God. God is not finished with me yet. And he's letting her know it's a very foolish statement, because you're expecting this God who gives us good things to not have times in which he's going to give us trouble as well. God is a good God, but yes, there are times of suffering as well. And that all comes as a result of sin, doesn't it? There is suffering that happens in the lives of Christians. And in this case, even the opportunity God is helping in Job's life to see him grow in his faith as well. And we're going to get to that in just a minute, as he puts him through this trial and this testing. And so he says, "You speak as one of the foolish ladies." And so he gives his wife some correction. But then notice what's said about God in the middle of the verse. Not only the correction of Job's wife, but the vindication of Job's God. Don't ever look at God as being a God that's a bad God. He's a good God. So he vindicates his God. Notice in the middle of the verse, he says, "What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" Think about all the ways that God has blessed us. Certainly there are also times of suffering as well, but then I want you to notice the commendation of Job's character. Not only do we see the correction of his wife and the vindication of his God, but we see the commendation of Job's character. Look at what it says at the end of the verse. "In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" So what should our response be when we read a passage of Scripture like this? Well, we get to a place where we realize that we're just instruments in the hands of God, and we're instruments that are accomplishing his will. He's taking our lives and he's doing as he sees fit with our lives, and we're just instruments for the purpose of accomplishing his will. So let's get to be like Job, where we just submit to him. We're willing to obey him and we're willing to humbly serve him. Don't ever be a Christian that blames God. There's enough of that that takes place. Blaming God for things that God has chosen to do in your life. Don't ever get to a place where you blame God. And Job is not that kind of a Christian. He doesn't blame God. And then can I say this about our suffering? We as Christians realize that we have a great future that awaits us, where there's going to be goodness for all of eternity, isn't there? There will be no more suffering. There will be no more sin. There will be no more trials and tests that we have to go through. So things that we can remember when we face times of suffering that ought to help us, things that we can remember, things that we can be encouraged by, that there is a beginning to suffering, but there always is an end as well. Remember with Job's life, there was a beginning, but there was an end of that suffering. Another great truth that we can remember in times of suffering is that God promised that you may go through suffering, but I'll never forsake you. I'm going to be there with you all the time, and you can trust in my presence. So if he permitted you to go through it, he's certainly going to be able to have his presence there to see you through it, isn't he? He's going to walk with you each and every step of the way. And then there's another great truth that we can remember about our God when we go through suffering, is that our God is infinitely wise, and he's infinitely powerful, and he's infinitely good, and he's infinitely merciful. Don't look at the suffering that you go through and say, "Well, God's not a good God. God's not a merciful God. God's not a powerful God." He is, isn't he? In good times and in bad times. And then can we be reminded of this, that God gives us more good than he gives us bad, doesn't he? Isn't it great to know that we are a God, or we do serve a God who is good, and he's good all the time, isn't he? So we could say of our God, he gives so many good things to his children. And then remember another great truth when we go through times of suffering, that God will never put on you more than you can bear. God's going to give you the grace, and God's going to give you the strength to bear that. So number one, we saw the perseverance of the devil. And then we see that everything is ordained and orchestrated by our God. But I want us to notice something that was growing in the life of Job here during this time of trial. And this is going to help us to bring this to an end. I want us to notice that faith was the attitude that Job had when he went through this moment of suffering. Faith was the attitude that he had. Can I say this? No matter what God sends your way, whether it be good or whether it be bad, your attitude, the only acceptable attitude ever is faith. Just trust God. Just know that He knows what is best. Not just any kind of faith, but this was faith in Job's life that was allowing him to go through trials and go through testing, and he was seeing his faith growing, wasn't he? He was seeing it strengthened. Matter of fact, Brother Terry read a passage of Scripture for us at the very beginning of the service in Job chapter 23. In verse number 10, it says this, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." What is Job saying there? Job saying that God's putting me through a test. God's putting me through a trial. But it's strengthening my faith. It's helping my faith to be strengthened and my faith to be stronger. God has permitted this test and this trial in the life of Job to bring notice to the stability of his faith in God. Are we seeing the faith of Job as we've read through chapter 1 and chapter 2? I think we saw his faith, didn't we? That he retained his integrity. And not once did he ever curse God. Not once did he ever charge God foolishly. Not once do we ever see that he sinned against God. His faith is growing during these difficult times. I want you to look real quickly with me, if you would, at chapter 13 of Job. We're here in Job, chapter 13, and I want us to notice a verse that's written here that Job says in Job chapter 13. Would you look at what Job says about his faith being strengthened? Job chapter 13, would you look down at verse number 15? It says this, "Though he slay me," what does Job say? "Yet will I trust in him." Job's faith is being strengthened. No matter what God puts me through, I will still trust in him. Now remember what his wife had said. His wife had said, "Well, the best thing for you to do, Job, is to curse God and die." Now, if we get to a place in our lives where we curse God at the moments of suffering, then we are turning from our only possible source of help, aren't we? So it was a really foolish statement for his wife to say, curse God, because he's the only source of strength and help we have when we go through suffering. Why would we ever turn on the one who can help us? That would be like going into the doctor's office when he's trying to help you and say, "Well, I don't care what you're offering. I don't care what you have to say." You're turning on your source of help. So to curse God and die would have been for him to forsake his trust and his faith in God and to forsake his only source of help, his only source of strength during that time. So we see his faith being strengthened. So number one, we saw the perseverance of the devil, but remember, he has a limit, doesn't he? And we saw that everything is orchestrated, everything is ordained by God, whatever we go through. And we saw the faith of Job being strengthened. But can I look at a passage real quickly in the New Testament that helps us to see Job's victory? Look at James, if you would, the book of James, and look down at chapter 5, if you would, when you find the book of James. And I want us to look at a verse there. Now, while you're finding James chapter 5, I want to ask you if you know the final victory in Job's life. Final victory is found in Job chapter 42, isn't it? Here Job had gone through the suffering that he had gone through in chapter 1 and chapter 2. His wife had told him that he needed to consider cursing God and dying. But his faith is being strengthened every step of the way. When you get to Job chapter number 42, you find out that God blesses the end of his life two times or twice the blessing that God had given to him in the opening chapters of this book. The way that God blessed him in a double portion to what he had already had. Job may not have known what was going to happen at the end. As a matter of fact, we would say this, Job didn't have the answer to all the questions when we're reading chapter 1 and chapter 2, but he still trusted God, didn't he? You know, there was a speaker that was at our camp this summer, and he used a wonderful illustration. He had a young man come up, and he stood this young man on the front of the auditorium, and he said, "This young man is going to represent me at And I believe, if I remember correctly, he said the age of 16. And then he had another young man come down here and he said, this man's going to represent me at the age that I am now. And he took all of the things that God had put him through from the time he was 16, I believe he was 30. So he talked about all the things that God had put him through from the time he was 16 to the time that he was 30. And he said, if as a 30-year-old, I would have known all of the things that were going to happen in that time frame right there, he said, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. Sometimes we may not know the answers to all the questions. We may not know what's going to happen years down the road. But we still trust God, don't we? And we still put our faith in Him. And the ultimate final victory in Job's life was when he was rewarded because he remained faithful to God. Look at what James chapter 5 and verse number 11 says of Job's life. We're going to actually read verse 10. It says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You've heard that described before, haven't you? You'd say, hey, this person, they have the patience of Job. You've heard that, haven't you? That's something that we use as a statement to describe people at times. God's saying, I want the patience of Job to be an example for you. I want the persistence, the perseverance of Job to be an example for you in your life that you can continue on. You can retain your integrity. Your faith can be strengthened as you learn to trust God and know that He is not putting you through anything that He has not ordained and He has not orchestrated in your life. So by way of application today, Job has left us a pattern, hasn't he? He's left us a pattern for the time until Jesus comes. We still read about it today, don't we? The story of Job and his patience and his persistence and his perseverance. So in your life, will you yield to Satan? Satan's going to have times in which he'll be permitted to bring some suffering in your life. Will you yield to Satan? Remember what we said about Job? He didn't yield, did he? Satan said, he's going to curse you to your face if you take this from you. But he didn't yield to Satan. Let's not yield to Satan. What will it take to get you to quit? You think about what Job went through and far less that individuals have gone through and have quit. But yet Job persisted, didn't he? What would it take you to quit? Let's learn to press on. Let's be persistent. Let's be persevering in our Christian lives. And then will you view the suffering that you go through as being ordained, as being orchestrated from God? Can I say this about our God? He doesn't make mistakes, does he? Let's not blame him. Let's not get to a place in our life where we say, well, if God wouldn't have done this, God doesn't make mistakes. Will you accept and view the suffering that you go through as being orchestrated and as being ordained by God? Don't allow your impatience, don't allow your unbelief to stand in the way of your walk and your relationship with God and cause you to give up on God. Let's live a life of persistence. Let's live a life of trust and faith in God and allow the things that God puts us through to strengthen our faith in Him. Father, I thank you for the Bible character that was on display in the passage of Scripture that we read today of Job. And Lord, I thank you for his persistence.